Welcome to the Culture Club and a happy new year to you. Welcome to 2014 with me, Lika, and you,
Marcus Weems.
Yay! Welcome along to the first live show of the Culture Club here on Six Towns Radio, and many thanks to the lovely Dan Maddox, who has got a voice like chocolate, who has just finished the show and he's dashed off now to get something to eat and he's left us in charge of the desk for 2 hours. Have you had a good Christmas?
I have indeed.
Did you have a good New Year as well?
Yes, I did. I ended up at the Glebe in Stoke.
Did you? Have a good night.
I had a bit of a dance and left quite early after the stroke of midnight because of reasons.
Because you turned into a pumpkin, obviously. We know this. We know this completely. Blimey, it was a busy year last year, wasn't it?
It was. It definitely was.
Loads going on, which we'll have a bit of a chat about. We'll have a little bit of a chat about it, but it is 2014 now, after all. We don't want to kind of like, we don't want to think about 2013.
It's a fresh slate.
It is. Like, wipe that slate clean.
It's in the past now. Move on, Lisa.
Move on already. Get over yourself, yeah. So basically, what we're going to be doing today, we've got a guest coming into the studio, haven't we?
Yeah.
Sam Fairbank. She is got an exhibition at the 116 Gallery down in Stoke. So her and Darren Washington will be in about 1:30. And we're also going to be talking about all manner of different things, including a really interesting article that I've just been looking at about how a middle class couple managed to have an astounding collection of artwork.
It's such a lovely story.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it in more depth a bit later.
Yeah.
But just how people's love of art have transformed their lives and the lives of the artists that they have helped and they've amassed this amazing collection, so we'll talk a bit more about that later.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Also, we've got Arts Council news as well. They've been putting out their forecast for 2015 and 16, so we'll touch on that. We won't bore you too much with it, and just many other things, actually. Some really good articles as well that we've found about students and art students in 2014 and what to look forward to in 2014 too. So we've got oodles, to be honest, haven't we?
Oodles.
It's just we might not have enough show to do everything that we want to do, quite frankly. Until then, I think we'll put a couple of tunes on.
Yep.
We'll have a drink of this tea that Marcus has made. It's not a taste sensation, but it is a proper cup of tea. So it will be a complete and utter taste sensation. So we'll have a couple of tunes and we shall see you after this. But if you want to get in contact with us, you have to email us studio@sixtowns.co.uk or text on 01782 454 180. You can get us on Twitter at sixtownsradio, facebook.com/sixtowns, or into the chat room and say hello to us that way. Or alternatively, if you are on the Culture Club invite on Facebook, please do say hello that way. Whichever way you want to say hello to us, do so in whatever way you can. And if you've got anything that you want to share with us, any activities or events or opportunities that are going on between now and next week, get in contact with us or just get in contact and say hiya. That seems fair enough, doesn't it?
Do it
after this. We'll do it while this is piece of music's on. You get it done. All right, and we'll see you after it.
Loud and proud in the Six Towns and across the globe, we are Six Towns Radio.
Mountains, Prince. Oh, what a tune. And before the ad break, we had Rock's Music Angel Eyes, as you know, because came in and said hello to you about it. Got loads to talk about, really, but it's where to start, isn't it, Marcus?
Where do we? Well, start in the kind of the end of 2013.
I
we'll
think
take
so.
A brief look back.
Yeah,
we at the year that was,
and what a year!
And what
you
a
know,
year.
But we don't want to. We don't want to focus too
we
much
don't
on it, do we?
Dwell
so
on the past,
just
so
a little bit.
We'll move it on to the arts and culture scene and world in 2014. 2014, where's my hoverboard? That's where I want it.
And now I thought that was 2015. Is it 2014?
I'm not sure.
I think they need to kind of just pull the finger out there.
We should be living on the moon.
Yeah, yeah. But I think I'm definitely looking forward to the hoverboard. You can get watches that you can talk into now. I saw that on the Gadget show the other night. You know, Gadget, because obviously it's French. And, but anyway, we were just kind of like, let's do a bit of an appraisal, kind of like get everything just concise. That's the word, condensed. That's the word I was looking for. Top 5 tips from 2013 for arts and culture professionals, of what we both are. And basically, Over the year, we've been kind of like, one of the great things about the Guardian newspaper, actually, which is where we both read a lot of stuff that comes out of there and other places where we're trying to get the inspiration for what our show is all about. And they've always been able to like really condense the thoughts and feelings of the culture professionals that are going on. And they've just got these top five tips from 2013, which is our one nod to 2013 for you. And then never speaking about it.
Moving on.
Ever again then. So the top five tips are keep it simple. And that is about getting to market early and then iterating the highest risk projects. So those when you don't have visibility of how successful your work's been, it means that you can't adapt to users and you can't easily evolve your product. And so the idea about this is like being simple is about getting out there, seeing how it works and then iterating. And many apps, this is all about digital stuff. Apps evolve over time and become better and better as well as more complicated. But there's a school of thought that says the best apps are the most simple and focused. And this person that was given this tip says that they argue that the two things are not synonymous. You can be very focused but very complex as well. But they would say that at any point, keep a laser-like focus on the core purpose of your app, website or product.
Yeah.
Are you on that one, Marcus?
I'm on that.
Yeah.
All keep over. It simple, no waffle.
Absolutely.
Know what you're doing.
Waffle complicates anyway, though. That's the thing, isn't it? We really, really don't need complication in things when things are so complicated anyway. And actually, if you clear away the wood to see the trees, things are a lot more simple anyway.
Yep.
So that's the first one. Now, with regards to Twitter, we did talk a lot, actually, about digital realm, didn't we? And about social media and about Tumblr and about Flickr and about Facebook and about Twitter and all of those things that are really there to kind of get the younger end of the market involved in art and culture and stuff like that. So know your hashtags, Marcus.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know.
Hashtag confused.
Yeah.
Mole.
Yeah. Lol. Yeah. Just keep them appropriate and relevant. That's what it's all about. There's nothing so irritating as every hashtag word, hashtag in, hashtag the, hashtag caption, hashtag being hashtag hashtagged.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't complicate it.
It can be really valuable though, Twitter, can't it? I find it, it's the more, it's the concise and it's the easier way to get things across. Mm-hmm. Facebook, we've always said, you have to rummage through a lot of rubbish, don't you, to find what you really, really want to say or what you want to know about.
And it's only really people that you know, whereas Twitter's open to everybody. So if you hashtag something art and painting, artists, people like it, they see it, they retweet it and what have you.
Yeah.
And it's more open.
I get loads of retweets, you know, and I'm always amazed by it.
Someone's popular.
Well, you know, what can I say? It's not what you know, it's who you know, Marcus. That's all I'm going to say about that. No, it's true, though. And I'll always surprise myself, and I still get followers on Twitter, even though I don't do a lot of stuff on it as well. So I really do need to get that. It's one of my New Year's resolutions, is getting more into social media, actually. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is another one that I really need to do more on as well.
I don't really like that.
Don't you?
Well, it bores me a little bit.
Yeah, like, well, it's a bit staid, isn't it? I think that's the word. Or it's very professional, isn't it, that one?
Yeah.
It's almost kind of going corporate.
Yeah, it's a bit too corporate. And again, although people have found it useful for getting in contact with certain members of corporations and things, so you could always try that.
Yes.
But no, it's not really for me, to be honest.
No.
It's not. It's a bit too dry.
A bit too dry. Now it is, isn't it? You need something a bit more wet with your social media, don't you? A bit more gravy on your social media. Can I have some more gravy with that? Never miss an opportunity to do your hashtags. They can be really relevant, but really think about what your hashtags are. That's the general tip for that one.
Never underestimate the power of a pithy hashtag.
Oh, certainly not. Oh, famous last words. Hashtag famous last words. Okay, pay your artists, or at least make sure that they are compensated in some meaningful way. Would you agree with this?
Yeah, I would agree. we would require paying, as we have bills like everybody else, require the consumption of food and water to continue being alive.
I always thought that artists just live on fresh air, you know, and goodwill. That's what I thought. That's what I've always
been
paying
with. No, they
can't eat paint. No, you can't. Can you?
Oh. I tried. And after a couple of hours in A&E, that one was pretty much never try that.
You can laugh about it now, though, can't you?
You can laugh about it now, but at the time it was terrible.
Yeah. So make sure you pay your artists.
Pay them. Pay them.
Just get paid. And people saying they've always been paid to do residencies. never, always being paid to do residencies, never ever paid to do them. I don't really understand what that means, but there you go. But all venues should be following that. And it's not just when it comes to residencies. It's not necessarily a transaction of pay, a crude transaction, but also the right that that artist shouldn't be massively out of pocket for as a result of taking up something that's offered as an opportunity. And you can end up out of pocket, can't you? So you need at least reimbursement for your expenses.
I've seen some residencies that seem to be like just artist holidays, where basically you pay for the room and the studio and you get to go somewhere, but it's not really a residency. You're just having a holiday somewhere. Whereas there are other residents, which is cool, you know, if you can do that. But there are other, you know, you make sure, think about what you're getting out of it, basically. And is it worth the time, the effort, the materials? Yeah. Have a think about everything you do and make sure you are sufficiently remunerated.
Oh, nice word. It's all about the balance, like you say, all about the balance, because something might feel like a really, really great idea and you really want to do it. But if you're going to be stony broke at the end of it, then it's like, is the benefits there? Has it got other things? Can it expose you more? Can you get your name out there more? Is that what it's about? Is that what the payment's about? And it's, you know.
Don't do things for exposure. That's another tip.
Oh, really?
If you're going to stop doing something in 2013 and start doing something in 2014, is stop doing things for exposure.
Oh,
you can't
like
pay bills with exposure. You can't ring up BT and say, oh yeah, I'm sorry that I can't pay like my broadband or my phone bill this month, but I've got like a load of exposure.
Do you want some of that?
Would you accept that? I've just done this exhibition. I've got all this exposure. Will you have that? And, you know, less successful
that?
Than eating paint.
Well, I can imagine, and not as tasty.
So don't do it. I mean, exposure to who? What are you actually going to get out of it? I mean, in some circumstances, I mean, weigh it up for you personally, but, you know, don't do stuff for free. You've got a job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically. So if someone says do it, it'll be good exposure, say no.
Yeah, no thanks ever so much. No. But I'll do it for a tenner.
Per hour, maybe.
Well, yeah,
I don't know. Well, you have to weigh up. You have to think about what you're getting out of it, and if it's not financially, it's got to be something else that's worthwhile. But I generally advise just to say no to anything that involves doing exposure. And you probably will do, or already have done them, but cease it.
Yet. One final tip for the 2013, start small. It's a tip often given to startups, but what about the art professionals? Well, the hardest thing is getting to people to invest up front about the work that you do, especially if you're trying to sell it to them and it's a first time. But the advice would be that whatever you do in the early stages of a new musical or a new product is think small. Use the fewest people you can. Choose the smallest venue for things to commensurate, and that way you'll keep your cost to a minimum, protect yourself from overexposure, which is what we were talking about, when you're still working on the shape of the piece. And I mean, this was actually one that came from a theatre company, but you could apply that to any different art form, couldn't you, really? Start small, don't overthink, don't try to do too much.
Always start small. That's definitely very good advice. Obviously, don't overstretch yourself. Mm. And big things grow from little acorns. God, I'm being so terribly profound today. I don't know where it's coming from.
I don't either.
But, you know, start small, use what you have, start where you are.
Yeah.
You know, don't, you know, you probably, if you've got a massive ego like me, you're probably going to want to do everything in one go. but that's bad, so don't do it.
Don't do it. So says Marcus Weems. Marcus Weems, shall we have another piece of music and then we'll talk about what's happening in 2014? Because we're in 2014.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's do that then. Welcome back to the Culture Club here on Six Towns Radio with me, Lika, and Marcus, who's sat opposite there just chuckling like a little bunny.
Hello.
It's the first live show of 2014. Our guests have just arrived into the studio. That's Sam and Darren. We'll be talking to them in a bit. But we're going to do a bit of fortune telling now, aren't we?
Yes.
Looking forward into the future.
So 2013 is dead to us.
Gone. You're dead to me.
And hello, 2014.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad, thanks. Tom asking.
Let's take a little look at this article. It's basically the same arts and culture buzzwords and New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
So we're going to have a look at the kind of buzzwords that we use in the art world, and the creative businesses, and have a look at think of some New Year's resolutions. Maybe we could talk about our own New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And if you're in the chat room, tell us yours.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you tell them before we even go any further? Tell them how we can get in contact, how they can get in contact with us.
You can text us on 01782 454 180 or email studio@sixtowns.co.uk and...
And you can also get yourself into the chat room, which is on our website, sixtowns.co.uk, and then click on the chat room tab, or in, you can also say hello to us on the invite as well that's on the Culture Club page. And we'll be saying some hellos because people have already been in contact with us, and that's marvellous. But let's get back to the show, which is all about...
Buzzwords.
Actually, I watched Fifth Element the other night, and Chris, what's his face, and Rudy Red goes, and multipass. But anyway, that's by the by. So buzzwords, yeah, I mean, they, you get a lot bandied about, though, don't you?
Buzzword the first, transparency. Okay. As you say, it gets bandied about a lot, but in truth, as...
Need to talk about more money, money more. Yeah.
We need to talk about money more, as we were just as we just mentioned. Maybe we need to talk about it less. But
Marcus, you're obsessed with money, I tell you.
But generally, artists need to be in when we think of transparency, they need to be more transparent about charges, about money, about it being a business, about when you set about setting out price plans and commissions, and it is weird because currency in art is sort of like veiled. It's like a bit of a dirty word. You don't really want to like sully a conversation about a painting with it.
And it's like, oh dear, yeah, it's the kind of thing that ladies like shake the fan at, isn't it? In the face,
monocles drop out of eyebrows.
Yeah, absolutely,
You know, it's art's kind of sacred in a way, but it's not, because again, you're running a business and you need to get paid for your work.
Yes.
So be more transparent about that. We all need to talk about it a bit more.
Yeah.
Buzzword the second.
Yes.
Collaboration or collaboration.
Collaboration, yes, absolutely.
Is another popular word beginning to lose its true meaning.
Yeah.
It's a big buzzword because everybody's collaborating. I collaborated loads in 2013.
Yes.
Did you do much collaborating?
I think I did. I'm just trying to remember because it feels like all the time is about collaboration.
Yeah.
Anyway, that I can't think of specifics now. I set up a lot of things about talking about collaborations as well that didn't necessarily happen, but that's just because it wasn't the right time, you know.
So there's lots. I mean, like for the Live Works, for example.
Yes.
Lots of collaborations. Artist communities are always collaborating with each other and exchanging ideas and working together. I did several collaborative exhibitions, and the reason they're so good is because you get to pool your resources, money is just mentioned, your skills, your time, all of that, you know, and you get to share and you get to learn things. So that's what you need to get back to the true meaning of Christmas. I mean, collaboration.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
2014.
And I think it's that thing as well about, you know, if you're a freelancer that works from home,
yeah,
and you're in your own isolation thing doing
box.
Your work, yeah, in your own box, in your own isolation
box, cube,
is the fact that, you know, you spend a lot of time on your own, so collaboration sometimes is the way of freshening thoughts and getting new energy going, because we've talked before about sometimes you're just bouncing off the same white brick wall, aren't you, unless you've got the those people to bounce off instead, you know, or work with. And looking for working with more people to just get that energy going and get those creative juices going,
just
that's what it's all about.
Conversation can spark.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Next one, networking.
Yes.
Do it more.
All right, that's the buzzword.
Again, the nature of art and artists is that in their isolation cubes, find it hard to kind of mostly kind of like introverts by nature. And it's a big sweeping generalization, but we kind of are. So what you need to do is just get out there and go to a party or event or whatever and talk to somebody. That simple. Just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Don't talk about yourself all the time, says me.
Don't stand by the buffet all the time.
Don't stand
either.
By the
That's
buffet.
What we established last year.
But you just talk to people, ask them about what they do, tell them about what you do, see what happens.
Yeah.
It's that simple. So don't be shy.
Yeah. Get out there. I mean, that's the thing. It's like build up new networks, build up those existing networks that you might not have contacted for a long time. Get back out there and make those connections again. And then when you're talking to them, get them people to introduce you to more people and just expand that network, because you can never have enough connections, can you? Because somewhere along the line, there's going to be one that you really, really need. So
your network is your net worth.
Oh, very good.
Just... throwing them out there.
You so ought to be in advertising, it's untrue. Okay, hit me with the next one, please.
engagement.
Oh, that's very beautiful, darling. But I'm actually with somebody else. Thank you, though.
No, sorry. Yeah. It's the fourth word. And basically, it's all about engage. If people write funding bids and do public projects, engagement is something that, again, are going to come across a lot because they're going to want to know how many people are engaging it. I'm doing little quotation marks. How many people engage it? How basically, how many people are seeing it and enjoying it and liking it and how they're being affected by it? So how are you engaging with your audience, basically?
That became a bit of a swear word for me last year, actually. Yeah. Engagement, it was a curse by the end of it because it can be a challenging thing as well, can't it? Engagement. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it can also mean online engagement. So again, your Twitters, your Facebooks, knowing your hashtags. Again, taking last year's lessons and applying them in a different way. So you want to, if you know, you want to know your hashtags, so you can engage with people online. It doesn't have to be about numbers.
Yes.
And then
the final bit
next.
It's just that it's easier to sink into like a post-Christmas stupor, to be honest. And you know, your clothes don't fit. You've got no money. you've got funding news, which we'll be talking about later anyway. But funding news might be a bit bad and you're panicking about how anybody's going to earn any money. But there's reasons to be cheerful. Getting back to the true meaning of these buzzwords for what they really are about can help to focus you because they're very, very simple buzzwords. Yep. But actually, they're really, really powerful buzzwords as well. So take away all the detritus that sits around those buzzwords and just focus on what they are, I reckon. That's the way forward, isn't it?
Moving forward, New Year's resolutions. Yes. What are your New Year's resolutions for your business or your creativity in 2014?
And now, this is an interesting one. I definitely do need to get more on the social media tip and to stick with it as well, rather than being sporadic and going in and doing a bit and then dropping back again. I need to focus and keep that focus because the stuff that I'm doing is very much about public engagement.
Yeah.
And about being out there and about getting the profile up. So that, I think that is my key one. And then just the other one would be stop doubting my ability to do stuff and just get on and do it.
That's good.
Yeah, what about you?
I like that a lot.
Thank you.
I want to do sort of more technological stuff like apps and hacks and podcasts. Actually, we're going to turn the show into a podcast.
Yes, we are indeed.
Just put that in there. Things like videos and just all kind of technological. I want to be more of a nerd, basically.
Oh.
I want to be more of a nerd in 2014. Maybe a bit more socially awkward and introspective as well. But I just want to get to grips with all the technology that's out there and how I can use that. And like things like Excel. I know it sounds really boring.
But
like, I'd like to get better at Excel and things like that and kind of get the technology all nailed and do more interesting stuff for that and not really get left behind with anything. And then just crack on with everything else.
Sounds like a plan to me. Loving your work, I am. Okay. We've got an ad break and then we're going to have a tune and then we will be talking to the lovely Sam Firebank and to Darren Washington as well, who is currently looking at us through the window because we've not let him in and he's stood there with a cup of tea, bless him. So we'll be back after the break and a fantastic tunage. Ta-ta. Ping Pong Orchestra, which is a great name. It's just a great name for any kind of artist, I think, the Sean Lee's Ping Pong Orchestra. And that was San Diego. And before the ad break as well, we had Michael Rickford dancing on the edge of danger, but we know about that one anyway. Big hello to a few people that are deciding to listen to the Culture Club. I'm much appreciated. We've got Stacey, Paul, we've got Dan, we've got Dixon, and a few more Lees in there as well. So thank you very much for tuning in. And don't forget, if you want to get in contact with us, all you have to do, Marcus Weems,
text the studio 01782 454 180 or email us studio@sixtowns.co.uk.
Oh, that is beautiful. You do it so well, you know. And you are listening, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Culture Club here on Six Towns Radio with me and Marcus. We're talking about all things arty and culturally. We've been talking about things that we went on in 2013, the buzzwords from that kind of era, obviously, because it's that
it felt
long.
Like an era. Oh,
it felt like forever, didn't it, darling? And then, so I'm looking forward to the buzzwords of 2014, those really basic buzzwords that we use all the time, but sometimes they get bogged down in the quagmire of all the other rubbish that goes on. Let's focus and keep it simple and move on 2014. And our first guest of 2014 is actually sat in front of me now, and that would be the lovely Sam Fairbanks. Hello there, Sam.
Hello.
Lovely to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Here to talk about your exhibition, Protector, that's going on at Gallery 116 in Stoke. And we've got lovely Darren Washington, obviously, sat at the side of us as well. Go on, Darren.
Hello.
Oh, that's very quiet. I'm not used to you being that quiet.
Hello.
Hello.
You're right.
So, Sam, is this your first exhibition?
Yes, first one all on my own, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you've done collaborative stuff before now, but this is your first solo one.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so how did this come about then? How did you eventually have a solo exhibition?
Well, for my university, we're actually a bigger class than they used to, so they've told us all to branch out, really. We're meant to do it all as a group.
Okay.
We've been forced to branch out.
Oh, now that's interesting. So you would have ordinarily just done a collaborative exhibition as part of the course. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But there's just that many of you that you'd fill an arena trying to get everybody in.
We would.
Okay, so this is a new thing for the course then, is it, that that's happened, Lara?
It is, yeah.
Right.
It's the first time they've done it in a while.
Yeah, no, I like the idea of that. It's kind of like really throwing you out into the marketplace, isn't it, and getting you used to that.
When they first mentioned it, it was a bit daunting, but now I've done it. It's actually helped loads.
Okay, so what year are you in at university then?
In my final year.
So this is all part of the final thing then?
Yes.
Wow. Let's talk about the body of work then, because we've it's called Protected.
Yep.
Okay, what was behind that word for you?
Well, I was focusing on the nature reserves in the city, and they are being protected by the council and local communities, and that's the only reason that they are kept so well, because people are putting the time and the effort into it. So I thought Protected was a nice round word to show that.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful word, actually. I think people don't actually realise just how many nature reserves we have got in the area as well.
Yeah, we've got 9.
Wow. Can you list them all?
I can try.
I won't hold you to that one at the moment. But do you feel that sort of doing this kind of work, this body of work, will help to bring awareness to people that might not realise that actually we've got beautiful bits of countryside on our doorstep?
Yes, it definitely will. I mean, myself, I didn't realise one was just down my street until I looked into it.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So was it an idea that you thought, right, are you specifically a nature photographer? Is that your kind of remit?
Yeah, it's what I'm doing, yeah. I'm focusing on landscapes.
So the nature reserve was just an element where you thought, I'd really like to explore that.
I wanted to explore Stoke-on-Trent more, and I thought the nature reserves is something that people don't realise about, so I thought I'd make it more noticed.
Yeah. And what's your body of work? How long has it taken you to get this body of work together?
It took me a few months, at least. For the idea itself and all the back research, it took a few extra months.
Yeah, and then lots and lots of travelling around as well, I suppose.
Yes, I now know all these places very well.
and I guess there's people that recognise you and go, oh, she's back again with that camera.
Yeah.
So the university course, I mean, when did you start doing photography? It's one of those things I always ask when we've got an artist in, is to find out what their journey was and hopefully to inspire others. So when did it all start for you, photography?
Well, it started for me in college. It wasn't something I directly wanted to go and do.
Okay.
I just knew I wanted to do something artsy.
Yeah.
So I went into the open evening, got chatting to all the tutors, and I found that photography looked really fun.
Yeah.
So I joined that course, and it just went on from there, loved it, so carried it on to uni.
Oh, excellent. That's really good. So you studied around here then?
Yeah.
In Newcastle?
Yeah, Newcastle.
It's got a great reputation, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It really, really has. And so from that, going on to university, and now in your final year.
Yes.
Wow, that's quite a big one, isn't it, really? I'll tell you what, we'll have a tune, and then we'll find out what you are going to do after you've finished your final year. We'll find out a bit more about this exhibition. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Marvellous. Oh, I think we'll have a bit of Paul McCartney and Wings, you know, Marcus.
Sounds good.
You don't object then?
Nope.
Oh, thank goodness for that. It's a lovely gentle one as well. Let him in, Paul McCartney and Wings. I like how it goes really quiet and then it goes to finish, you see. That's the unusual quirkiness about Paul McCartney. I've just been giving Darren a bit of a lecture about Paul McCartney because I think he's absolutely awesome. Not that Lennon wasn't, but just that Paul McCartney's just dead ace. Thanks, Tom. Welcome to the Culture Club here on Six Stars Radio with me, Lika, and Marcus is sat over there as well, looking intellectual and putting his hand on his chin, stroking his beard. Hello. And we've also got Sam Fairbanks, and we've got Darren Washington in the studio. Darren is, of course, the proprietor of Gallery 116 in Stoke on Church Street. And Sam, you are doing your first ever solo exhibition by default because of your university numbers subscribed. You're doing your first exhibition, and it's called Protected. So this first exhibition, it's daunting. Would you agree, Marcus, putting an exhibition together, and Darren, putting an exhibition together is blooming hard work, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. And when you first started, Marcus, would you have said that you knew what you were doing, or is it just kind of like in the dark? Yeah.
I just winged it.
Yeah, wing magic, winging it works. Wing it Wednesday's always worked, hasn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm kind of asking is, how has this experience, you're putting your exhibition together, how has the experience been for you to kind of start from scratch and go through it. How's it been for you, Sam?
Well, it was really daunting at first.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Darren helped out loads because I was a bit lost to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. And would you say that, I think the thing is about university courses, they're very often, they're very much about the academic side of things, the creative side of things, but they don't necessarily give you the wherewithal or the knowledge about how you get out into the world and do what you need to do on a practical level. Would you say that's kind
of... Yeah, I definitely agree. All the academic done, sorted, yeah. But actually going out and getting everything done on time, it was a bit...
Yeah,
I had no clue whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Fortunately, you've got a maestro sat to your right, haven't you?
Who is, yeah.
I mean, that's been the whole idea about the Gallery 116, is about a kind of like a nurturing platform for emerging young photographers going through, well, not necessarily just young, but emerging photographers going through that first exhibition. Oh my goodness, how on earth do I do this? Don't worry, Darren Washington's here. He's done it a lot of times and he's going to help you. But that's what it was, wasn't it? It was always about the encouragement and support.
Yeah, yeah, it's about supporting them, and if they've got any issues, you know, I'm there to help, you know. And yeah, it was great with Sam, you know. We sourced out framers, and we sourced out how we were going to, well, sorry, how Sam was going to display the work. And, you know, it's sort of, yeah, helping out and just steering into the right direction and finding sort of, like with the framing and stuff, yeah. Wasn't it? You know, sourcing affordable but really decent framers, that sort of thing, you know, is something that's part and parcel to an exhibition, isn't it? It's got to look good.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't want to spend loads of money on it as well. So if you've got someone who's got the contacts that I can offer, you know, it helps.
Yeah, that's the key thing, isn't it? It is about the contacts, about the network, and that's something that only grows as years go on and you meet more people and you get to know, well, this works, that doesn't work. But actually going out into the big, wide open world without that knowledge is a bit of a minefield, really, because you don't have any frame of reference about what works or what doesn't work, do you?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't. Without Darren's help, it would have cost me twice as much, probably.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. How did you get in contact with each other? How did that work?
I found out about his gallery opening and contacted him from there.
That's great, that is, Darren. That's obviously you're doing things right there and getting your name out there, aren't you? And that's what it's all about as well. I mean, he's a maestro at marketing and obviously the grand dam of radio and friend of the Culture Show anyway, Culture Club anyway. But no, really, really valuable stuff that. And so this is part of your degree.
Yes.
But you've got another project to do because this is only part of your final submission, isn't it?
So yeah,
you've got,
it's like half of it.
Okay, so are you going to be taking the environment, the nature theme forward onto the next project that you're going to be working on then?
Yes, I am. I'm just going to be delving deeper into the personal experiences of people living in Stoke.
Okay, and their personal experiences of nature, of the nature reserves?
Yes,
okay.
Of the nature around Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah, yeah. So is that something that we can expect to see in Gallery 116 again, do you reckon?
Maybe, yes. Ah. Later this year.
Well, let's just, before you go, actually, let's reiterate then. So we've got the exhibition on at Gallery 116. How long is it going on for? One of you tell me.
It's going on till this Saturday, the 11th.
Lovely. So still time to go and see it now.
Yeah.
Lovely. Go on, Darren. I thought you were going to say
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we're open 11 till 4:30.
Okay, 11 till 4:30. 7 days a week or how many days a week?
It's... 4-5 days a week.
I don't even work here. He's thinking, I don't know why they're asking me.
It's Tuesday to Saturday.
So you have that's fantastic, because so you have like Sunday and Monday off as a long weekend for a well-deserved rest for you. So 11 till, well, yeah.
Don't rest on Monday.
Well, no. Well, you know, you've got your dogs to walk as well, aren't you? You know, yeah, this is it. I've seen all the photos. So 11 till 4, Tuesday to Saturday, the gallery is open, 116, and that's on Church Street in Stoke. Your work is there until this Saturday coming, so people can wander in and have a look at it and presumably purchase as well if they would like
sale,
to.
Yes.
Oh yes, I like that. It's always very nice if you can make something out of the exhibition as well, isn't it? That'd be like the double bonus. But thank you so much for coming in, both of you. Well done, Sam, on your first radio interview as well. That wasn't scary at all, was it?
No, not at all.
Don't worry, I can make it worse. If you want to come in next time, he can tell you I can absolutely terrify you if you need to. But no, thank you very much for coming in. And so anybody out there that is really wanting wanting to have a look. I really, really appreciate the fantastic nature reserves that we have got in Stoke-on-Trent and in Staffordshire as well, that Sam has brilliantly gone and sought out and then got some amazing photos. And actually, I was looking at the photos, very atmospheric, very beautiful. You can go and see those all at Gallery 116. That's the exhibition Protected. Are there any websites or anything that we can catch you on at the moment?
Yeah, it's SamanthaFairbanks.com. It's my website.
Lovely. Excellent. So you can go and check out some more of Samantha's work there and follow her progress as well. And all the very best with 2014 and with your degree. Sam, will you let us keep us posted on what's going on there?
Yes, I will. Thank you very much.
Oh, not a problem at all. I've got a tune for you, Darren Washington.
Brilliant.
Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Is that
excellent.
What you said?
Yeah,
yeah, got that one. So we'll have a tune and then we will come back and we will, me and Marcus are just going to create some more mayhem, aren't we?
Yeah,
he's well up for that. After this. Up and away, Fifth Direction.
Beautiful balloon.
Oh, we had a beautiful Pans People moment there, didn't we? We really did. It was lovely. You couldn't say, you can't write
Luca
that kind
was
of stuff.
Sashaying around the studio.
Yeah, that
in
was
a dreamy 70s soft focus way.
Soft focus, yeah. I got a purdy haircut as well. I don't know, page boy haircut going on.
Yeah.
And slightly out of focus, just drifting past the camera. And it was beautiful. And I don't really know that Darren and Sam exactly knew what to make of it. But anyway, they were very obliging, weren't they?
It was a moment, and they've left bemused.
Yeah. They've gone now, and I don't know whether we'll see them again, but nonetheless, welcome to the Culture Club here on Six Towns Radio with me, Lika, and you over there. You were over there. What's your name?
Hiya, Marcus.
Hiya, Marcus. You're right, mate.
Yeah.
It's the first live show of 2014, and we've had Sam in the studio talking about Protected, the exhibition that's going on at Gallery 116 down in Stoke until Saturday. And we've also been talking about 2014 New Year's resolutions that we've both got, so that's really good going forward. But one of the things that I do need to bring to your attention is that it is the Six Towns Radio Awards. It's going to be our third year of the Six Towns Radio Awards, actually. Starts on the, it's on the 26th of January, which, funnily enough, is the same date that we start. Well, it's 2 days after we start our FM bid, but we'll talk about that FM trial. So Six Towns Radio Awards, the 22nd of January, Mitchell Arts Centre up in Hanley, that is. And all manner of different categories. So we've got best pub, best fish and chip shop, best oak cake, all etc. etc. And this year we have got Art Volunteer of the Year in conjunction with Appetite. Now Appetite is the great 3-year project that's been funded by not only the Arts Council, there's lots of different funding streams coming into that, but it's all about providing those brilliant menus of opportunities for everybody to get involved in a creative or arts activity in Stoke-on-Trent. And so they are supporting the Arts Volunteer of the Year, and as champions of the rich creative scene in North Staffordshire, Six Towns Radio are delighted to give you the opportunity to nominate your Art Volunteer of the Year. And that will be volunteers that make a massive contribution to the arts sector in the area, so a fantastic opportunity for the region to celebrate and recognise this support. Run in conjunction with the ambitious arts programme, Appetite, wanting to get more people in Stoke-on-Trent to experience and be inspired by the arts. So there are plenty of people out there, aren't there, Marcus?
Loads.
Including us. We do that too.
You know, anybody who donates the time every week.
Selflessly.
To promote arts and culture in Stoke, you know, you might want to vote for them. I don't know if that's allowed.
Well, we don't know, but obviously there are lots more. There are lots of other
people. If you think about Creative Stoke, run by Dave Hayden.
Yeah.
I think he'll get my vote. It's a wonderful website.
It's a brilliant website, isn't it?
/blog/Facebook thing.
Yes.
And all the opportunities, funding, jobs, vacancies, little tidbits.
All out there.
They're all there and he all does that's all voluntary, and I'm lost count the amount of times that I've used that as a point of reference for applying for things and knowing what's going on. So I think that gets my vote.
Nominating, that's what you've got to do.
Nominate Creative Stoke.
And all you have to do to nominate is what you need to do is go to our website. That's the first thing that you need to do. So that's www.sixtowns.co.uk, and then you click on the Six Towns Radio Award Awards 2014, and you can go to the Arts Volunteer, to go to the different sectors and Arts Volunteer. So all you need to do is complete the attached short form that is linked in below on the page. Tell them the name, tell us rather, the name and contact details of the person that you're nominating, and a clear explanation of why you think they should be Arts Volunteer of the Year. So it could be that this person tirelessly just like gets out there, makes people aware of what's going on. They do a great job. They do it for nothing. They do it in whatever weather it is, but we think they're brilliant. And as a result of what they've done, we know more about what's going on in the arts scene in Stoke-on-Trent. Or as a result of what they've been doing, we've been involved. Our community group has been involved in more and more art stuff. So whatever it is that you consider to be the Arts Volunteer of the Year, if you want to nominate them, get yourself onto the website, complete the short form, tell us your name and your contact details of the person that you're nominating, and also explain why you think they should be nominated for it. And then what will happen is they will shortlist, or we will shortlist, but I have to kind of take myself out of this a little bit. And so they will shortlist the nominations, which will then go to a public vote. And the volunteer with the most public votes will be the winner. The award will be presented to the winner at the awards ceremony in January. And you can find out more about Appetite as well. We will hopefully be getting them in on the show. Yeah. In the next couple of weeks, it'd be nice if we could get them in while we're on FM, wouldn't it, as well? That spreads the word even further in Stoke-on-Trent. Not everybody listens on sixtowns.co.uk, on Tinterweb. I actually met a lovely lady. Do you remember one day when we met that lovely lady that said, how can I get you? And she didn't have a computer, but she got a radio set. And she was, oh, no, I can't believe I can't listen to you. And I said, well, we'll be on FM soon. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'll look forward to that. And then wished us a good day, didn't she?
I know.
She lovely was so lady. Sweet. She was really sweet.
And she can listen. And because you can listen on your car,
yeah,
in the bath, on one of those little seahorses that you have in the shower.
Yeah, man.
All kinds of radio formats.
Do you have a radio?
I don't have a radio either.
My car
listen to it on the internet.
Yeah. My car stereo doesn't work, so I can't do that either.
But don't drive.
I really would like to drive around and listen to Six Towns Radio. So, and thank you so much to everybody that has given support in our fundraising bid. We managed to get the funds. We are still fundraising because we want to keep on going, and we want to get another FM bid, another RSL in the future in 2014 for another 28 days and see how things go. But thank you to everybody that got involved with that and all the ridiculous stunts that were pulled to try and raise money, and you did so well, so thank you for your support, and I hope you enjoy hearing us on FM. So yes, find out more about Appetite. That's where we got to it before it went off on one. Find out more Appetite. All you have to do is go to their website, appetitestoke.co.uk, and they've got to find out what's coming up in 2014. We will be finding out, we will be getting them on the show, and we'll be finding out more, and I'm rather excited about that because it was rather delicious, the taste of menu that they gave us last year, wasn't it?
It was good.
Yeah, plenty of opportunities in there.
I was trying to think of some kind of food pun, but it just failed me. Like,
oh dear.
Never mind. Well, no, we can edit that bit for the podcast.
Yeah, we'll just edit that out.
But yeah, I'm well looking forward to what Appetite has in store for 2014. It's a 3-year art project.
Yeah.
Big, massive thing happening. Save that for FM and spread the news a bit for more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree for that. Now, one of the things that we were talking about before, while Sam and Darren were still in here, we were talking about changing the world for art students in 2014, weren't we?
Yeah.
And what Sam would like us to know is, I'd like you to know, is that she absolutely agrees with the point that we were talking about while the music was on and while I was doing my Pans People dance. And essentially what this is all about is students and teachers and artists reversing the setbacks suffered by arts education. So funding cuts, essentially, and a move to banish art lessons from schools made 2013 a sad year for creative education. And I guess you've got to look at what priorities are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Is art a priority? I don't know what I think it is. We do.
I do. Yeah,
and everybody that's listening does as well. Yeah. But art students and their staff are regrouping for a fight that they believe there is there to be won. And apparently it was all about the students' numbers are declining. So number of students applying to study creative arts at university is on the decline. And according to the latest available data from UCAS, the number of applications fell 17% from 2011 to 2012. And that surprised me, actually. Yeah.
Not so much me, to be honest.
Tell me about it. Come on.
Fees.
Yes.
It's not free anymore.
No, not at all.
$9,000 for fees.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of living has increased. Mm-hmm. Wages have not. Can people afford to go to uni? You know, I was lucky enough to go in a time where it was funded by the government.
Yes.
And kind of university education and art education was democratized, which is actually quite a recent phenomenon. You know, it used to be always reserved for the middle classes, the rich, the well off, mm-hmm. that could go to uni, in fact, to do art. And then obviously that changed, and now it seems like we're going back, we're kind of like regressing, but I don't know. And then, you know, what job are you going to get?
That's the one, isn't it?
You won't get a proper job.
If you do art.
Yeah. No, you won't, though. Seriously. Mm. You have a word with yourself.
You've got to do it for the love, not for the money, really. Yeah, something like that.
Well,
this,
you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of that's sliding back. And, you know, if you're not getting the grants and you're not getting your fees paid for you and you come from a working class background, How are you going to do it?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's unless you come from a privileged background, art students do struggle to make ends meet. Students in general struggle to make ends meet. Yes. But the critical thing about this is that it's about living costs, but it's not just about, it's about buying your own materials,
isn't
it?
You've got to buy your materials and do all your projects and do all that stuff. And that racks up.
Yeah.
Seriously. And you have to think food or paint again. It's like,
well, if you buy paint, you can do both. You can paint with it and you can eat it, according to you. But I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You're struggling with living costs, you're expected to pay for your own materials, and the fact that you can't afford to use the best materials, you've got a budget on that, means that the standard of the work that comes out mm-hmm. isn't necessarily the best that you could produce, because you're limited by the materials, etc., that you could buy. But do you see that as an obstacle, that bit about the quality of the materials that you buy, Marcus, or do you work to the best with that one?
Oh, I think you always have to be resourceful and use what you've got. You know, that's what creative people do on mm-hmm. a budget. They get good on a budget, but you know, yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, it's not just books and things, it's never ending supply of things that you need or for a particular project. So, you know, it's a toughie.
It is a toughie. I mean, I was blessed when I came to university. I got a full grant. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was in the first year of the student loans, I think, in my final year. And I got a student loan to pay off my overdraft. £575 my overdraft was. I paid off my student loan in about 3 years at £9 a month, even though I'd not got a job that could, you know, there was the threshold. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, well, I need to, it's £9, I can pay that. And it was easier. It was lovely, actually, you know. We got the fees paid and everything. So I think was one of the few years then, because it gradually declined, didn't it? The grants mm-hmm. gradually declined, etc. But there's an urgent need for the government to provide grants to art students. Students from ordinary backgrounds simply can't afford the cost of directly paying for their education. It would be great to see students from different backgrounds getting involved in design, but for this to happen, need to introduce a grant that covers the expenses of being at art school. That's the critical thing, isn't it? So there's a national campaign for fair pay in colleges and universities that's been fought in art schools too. Teaching budgets have taken a big hit in art and design. The national pay offer is highlighting a battle between staff and senior management. And art technicians and lecturers are being subject to 13% real-term pay cuts. Vice chancellors are still awarding themselves above inflation pay rises. Controversial. You know, surprise. Don't get you started on this one. I mean, basically, it's a lecturer that's been talking about this in this particular article, and she said that she supported her staff at university who went on strike recently. Hope that staff and students continue to strike for fair pay and issues around surrounding funding. So 2014 will be a year of positive change in both further and higher education. So sometimes stepping out there and making that point to affect that change.
Yep.
We'll have to see. But as I say, Sam Fairbanks was saying she completely agrees. Photography, I mean, these days, you know, it's not just about darkroom, it's about digital as well. It mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily cost as much, it depends, but I know at Newcastle College they still have a dark room there, don't they? Mm-hmm. So unless they're providing their own materials, providing materials for students to work with, then it's going to be a financial challenge.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe there'll be another way, like another, I remember
yes
vaguely yes. reading an article about kind of like an alternative art school, and I wish I had more details for you, but it was like, you basically, you were sort of selected and had a bursary. So maybe they'll find a way around it. Again, very creative and resourceful. There'll be other ways. Yeah. And being controversial, is it a good thing? Are there too many people going to art school? Are there too many artists? Are there too many people trying to do the same thing?
Yeah.
Was it right that... But then again, I can't really complain, can I? Because... So that's a pivotal point. I don't know. It depends what people think about that. You know, is it better to have less artists? I don't know.
People going to art schools. But there is a general campaign going around, and there's 5 themes to it. Art education is a public good. We need to move away from the business model of art schools. We must demand fair pay across the board and student grants instead of fees and loans. Creative industries need investment, need funding to create jobs for art graduates that pay and keep arts open to the public. Save art in schools, reversing McElgove's move to deprioritise art subjects is the key to more children choosing it at GCSE and beyond. Uniting, coming together of students, teachers, arts and cultural sector workers will breathe life into campaigns. And the final one, make more art. Sounds obvious, but creating work that communicates progressive ideas is the best way to influence our communities. Just get it out there.
Yeah,
does that sound?
It sounds good.
Yes,
I don't see it happening. to be completely honest, I don't see that happening. But I think that if students and artists or people just find another way to pursue their career and to get that education, because no one's going to ask. Because mostly unis, it's the studio space.
Yeah.
It's tuition, the lectures in art history, etc. But really what you're paying for is kind of like your life experience and your studio, which is really, really expensive in and of itself. So maybe people will find another way, because nobody's going to ask what grade you got. I'll tell you that now. Like nobody's ever asked me what grade I got at uni or where I went to. That's just not a thing. So maybe people will find a different way of educating themselves or something. I really don't see any more grants or things forthcoming because everything's going to get cut even more this year.
Absolutely.
But I think there can be a creative solution to the problem.
I look forward to finding out how that is going to unfold in 2014. Matt.
I'll have it by next week.
It's gonna save the world. It's all right. Don't fear. Marcus is here.
I'm just going to teach everybody.
Of course you are, darling. Yeah. That's marvellous. Shall we have a bit of Andy Gibb, shall we?
Yeah, go for it.
Just to calm things down. Oh, one of the Gibb brothers. You can tell there, can't you? It's absolutely all over it, that is. Don't know when that was from, but anyway, that's a special disco version of it. We've got about 20 minutes left of the Culture Club here on Six Towns Radio with me and Marcus. And just one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that we've got a bit of a Stoke Your Fires opportunity coming up, a film and digital mentoring programme they've got going on, no less. And if you are a creative media business looking for structured mentoring in devising great projects and getting funding and reaching out to audiences, then this opportunity could be right up your street, because as part of the continued support for the creative sector, Make It Your Business and Factory programme have joined forces to offer a new year-round mentoring opportunity for media creatives to get advice, support and a bespoke action plan for getting their projects funded, made and out there. And it's led by the team behind Sheffield's Dotfest. They're going to devise you an individual mentoring plan for you, consisting of a total of 12 hours one-to-one mentoring to last throughout 2014, and the addition of a series of workshops and activities to enhance the experience as well. Mentoring will be offered in person and through a variety of other channels as appropriate, so I imagine that could be something like face-to-face, Skype, that kind of thing, email. And it can be broken up into any combination of discrete units, such as 6 times 2 hour sessions or 12 times 1 hour sessions, to suit the needs of each business. And when they say business, it could be an organisation, or it could be a sole trader, a limited company, etc. But some of the areas that they can offer advice and guidance in are accessing finance from traditional sources, such as broadcast through to crowdfunding, foundation and grant funding and philanthropy, and also understanding the distribution models, including broadcast, theatrical, hybrid distribution, amongst other things. There's a load of distribution listed there as well. Preparing and packaging work for cultural festivals, including understanding how to navigate the festival strategy and how to use festivals to maximise attention for your projects, which is a gap, that exposure thing, isn't it? Yeah. That's the accumulate to speculate on something like filmmaking. It's a necessary evil sometimes, isn't it, to spend without getting the necessary financial funding back. Navigating international factual media markets, how to pitch your ideas successfully on paper and then verbally to get different kinds of funders and supporters interested. Working with digital, interactive and cross-platform media. Connecting successfully with audiences, a massive one, fans, followers and advocates. Building a fan base. Strategizing outreach campaign and social impact. And a list of all things. There's so many different areas that they're offering advice advice and guidance in that it would bore you senseless if I carried on reading them to you. But basically, all of the areas combine to form different modules, and as part of the personal mentoring program, they're going to devise for you, they're going to put together structured modules that so that every moment of your mentoring is useful. And the DocFest consultancy will empower you to make the right decisions that suit your current productions or overall career plan. And in some cases, they might navigate access to funding and resource holders as well. But the aim of the mentoring is primarily to allow you to be self-sufficient and more confident. So if you want to find out more about this, who can apply to be on the programme, applications are welcome from all creative and digital professionals working in North Staffs region. At any stage of your project, from concept through to exhibition impact, you can ask for mentoring on one project or for a whole slate of projects. You can be working on any platforms in any cultural media form, and you should have a clear aim of what you want to achieve in the next 12 months of mentoring. Should work out the basis that 12 months can deliver you what you want. And also, any additional costs such as attendance of festivals, markets, events, training events, etc. Will be borne by you, though the team will may be able to negotiate favourable rates, for instance, if you need to go along somewhere. So if you want to apply for this, there are 10 places available on the programme. If you want to be considered, what you need to do is email miyourbusiness@stoke.gov.uk. So that's MI your business, that's all one word, at stoke.gov.uk, and we'll put this onto the Courage Club page on Facebook for you. One page on what you hope to achieve from the mentoring, especially the goals you're looking to achieve as part of it, and one page of biographical information, not a CV, and any supporting information as well. And the deadline for this is Friday the 24th of January. That's Friday the 24th of January at 5 p.m. And all applicants will be notified of selection early in the new year. So that is a fantastic film and digital mentoring program opportunity for you. Find out more about it by going to stokeyourfires.co.uk and clicking on opportunities, and you will see more there. We're going to have an ad break now. I talked quite a lot there, didn't Marcus? Shall I show up again now?
I'll put a tune on.
I'm going to put an ad break on. Yeah. I'll put an ad break on, and okay, then we'll come back out. We're going to talk about that fantastic art collection with that couple. Brilliant. Yeah. See you after.
Six Towns Radio.
Hello, and we've got sort of like 10 minutes left of the show, so we just thought, well, we'll have a bit of a chat first of all. And you've got a really, really great article, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've got a great article. It's from a blog called Mental Floss.
Yeah, which is a great title for a blog.
It's basically the story of how a working class couple amassed a priceless art collection. So just to give you a bit of introduction, let me introduce you to the Vogels.
Hello, Vogels.
There's Herb.
Hello, Herb Vogels.
Herb Vogel. And his wife, Mrs. Vogel. basically, he never earned more than $23,000 a year, which you can imagine in pounds is about like minimum wage. And they lived in New York in an apartment, and in a 450 square foot apartment in one bed with his wife. Wow. Dorothy.
Oh, she's lovely, Dorothy.
She was a reference librarian at the Brooklyn Public Library. They lived frugally. They didn't travel. They ate TV dinners. Aside from a menagerie of pets, Herb and Dorothy had just one indulgence, which was art.
But
their passion for collecting turned them into unlikely celebrities, working class heroes in a world of Manhattan elites. So, big article. I recommend you read it. We can post it somewhere. That's fine. And basically, they had this love of art, and they had this meagre income, and they just started buying pieces. So they started collecting with their hearts instead of their heads, which is the best way to start collecting art. And they picked out pieces. They got to know the artists.
Yes.
And they picked out pieces. Again, with the collection, they amassed such a massive amount of work. It's all in this 450 square foot flat. And the one thing that they deny, it says here, is that they ever stored art in the oven. And this house full of art, full of pets, and is now priceless.
Wow.
Basically.
Wow.
They've got that much of it because they kind of got the artists when they were unknown. At the time, let's have a look. There was a trend of art, which was in vogue, so it was too expensive for them. So they went for, like, I think it was modernism, and they went for minimalism instead. So they bought sort of work by, like, Donald Judd and, like, minimalist artists. So that was kind of, yeah, and obviously when that came to the fore, that was worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they were quite kind of savvy, but they always did it from the heart, and they kind of, like, mingled with the elite, even though they were only working class people, obviously through networking
yeah.
as well. And they just helped out these artists. There's a lovely little quote in here from another famous artist. It was just, they're basically, the when they'd call, they'd be like, oh, the Vogels are on the phone. Like, we can eat or we can do this show or whatever. So they literally became friends with these artists, like Chuck Close. They've got loads of his sketches and all of these big names.
Yeah.
And it's now lovely, basically, isn't it, really?
It's a great story, actually. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like philanthropy,
yeah,
isn't it? But it's rather than investing in the artist to create a piece of it, it's like, well actually, I mean, it could be commissioned, but rather than yeah, it's just really philanthropic. That I really like that. Yeah. but for the love of the artwork as well, in one way, but then in another work, it's about speculating again to accumulate, because it's like, these people are going to be worth a lot of money and this is our nest egg. So yeah, not stupid, they just
did
at
it,
all.
They
yeah.
did it for the love of it
I
as well.
It's great.
People kind of said that the art elite was saying that they were cheating.
Yeah,
because they weren't dealing with galleries and these big names. They were going directly to the artist, so they were bypassing all of that. And most of the stuff's just like sketches and things, but that has just accrued value over time. And they've just done it for love, kind of like the love of each other.
Aww.
And the love of art. So basically, I just think that's amazing. And if you love something, then you know, collect it and engage in it, and you know, follow your passion.
I think so. I mean, they sound like every artist's dream.
Well, yeah, because
really?
the Vogels called. We can pay the rent.
Yeah, yeah.
So as you say, they were philanthropic. They got involved, but they did it for the love, and they loved hanging out with artists and collecting the work. And they've crammed their apartment for it, because the curators are having kittens because they were thinking, what if something caught fire or
yeah, yeah,
or anything like that. And I just think, you know, good on them. What a nice story that is.
Yeah, definitely. And I was just reading a little bit about it. They had artist sensibilities, they say. When they spotted something beyond their means, they'd find a way of making the purchase. They'd buy on credit, or they won't go on holiday, or they'd even throw in a cat sitting to sweeten the deal. And the artists loved them for it. When you knew you were selling them something, it was because it was part of an important collection. It wasn't just about, oh, here's something that we're just going to stick in a cupboard somewhere that never. Mm-hmm. It's about being appreciated as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's a really nice way of doing things as well, because we all sometimes feel that like art is beyond our financial capabilities or means to be able to buy. Mm-hmm. But a young and emerging artist, a starting artist, and if you start investing in their work now,
yeah,
who knows where it's going to escalate in the future. And it's not necessarily about being mercenary, that it's just about thinking, but also recognizing that there's some really talented artists starting out now. And okay, they're not the Klimt and they're not the whatever it is, in the, you know, they're still alive, that's for starters, because a lot of the artists that are known these days are because they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that. It's a beautiful story to finish on, that is, Marcus. Yeah. Weems, I think you did. Yeah. So well there, darling.
God bless the internet.
God bless the internet. And if anybody is liking to purchase any of Marcus's works and be philanthropic in that, then that would be absolutely marvellous as well. Do you realise that we've reached the end of the show?
Right.
I know, it's absolutely flown, hasn't it? We've got one last tune to see you out, and then we've got the news coming up, and then following the news we've got Seamus Hargy. He's got an hour mix going on. Annabelle is coming in at 4 o'clock, Jim McShee with Dead Roots Music Show at 5 till 7, and then we've got the Approach Show, Heidi Booth, coming up 7 till 9, Ginger Girls Says 9 till 11, and then the New South Sports Show 11 till 12 o'clock tonight. So we've got loads more here on Six Towns Radio for you. You're not back in the studio next week, are you?
No.
I
can't be here, unfortunately, but I'll be back the week after.
I'll be on my own, but it'll be absolutely fine. I know I'll be okay about it. So thank you so much for tuning in. Marcus, see you in a couple of weeks when we're on FM.
FM, baby.
FM, baby. So thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll leave you with Human League and then the news. Ta-ta.
Bye.